Welcome to The Art of Discernment, a podcast where professors from across the Masters University discuss current events and higher education from a biblical worldview.
Hello and welcome to The Art of Discernment podcast. I am Dr. Bob Dixon, and joining me today is Professor Betty Price. Betty, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Betty is an adjunct professor here at the Masters University in the School of Biblical Studies. She holds a bachelor's degree in journalism and English, a master's degree in biblical studies, and she also studied at the Institute of Holy Land Studies in Jerusalem, now known as Jerusalem University College. Now, a little bit about Betty. She has served at the Masters University since 1985, so that's a long time.
Yes.
She has worked here in many capacities, including the Dean of Women, Associate Dean of Students, Women's Ministry Director, and Biblical Studies Professor. She has taught her personal discipleship and principles of personal Bible study courses for a lot of years. So, Betty, we've known each other a long time. We've taught here together for a long time. And I'm excited to have you on because we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to me because I have a wife and two daughters. And that is specifically, what are the core principles of a thriving women's ministry? So that's a lot. There's a lot to go to get into here.
Yes,
so
there is.
Let's not waste any time. So let's get started with this first question. How do you even define specifically women's ministry? What makes a ministry women's ministry?
Great question. And honestly, it's such a huge question. There's not really anything in Scripture that says a local church needs to have an organized women's ministry. There's definitely, Scripture definitely teaches in Titus 2 and even other places, but specifically Titus 2, that women should be teaching and training other women. We often call that discipleship. I've come to understand that discipleship is really a much bigger thing in Scripture than one-on-one. I think that's why people have started using the term mentoring for the one-on-one relationships. Mm-hmm. Because when Jesus sent the disciples out to go and disciple the nations, he didn't say anything about one-on-one. Right. And actually, Titus 2 doesn't say anything about one-on-one. So I think that women learning from other women can happen in one-on-one mentoring. It can happen in small groups. The church gets discipled when the pastor preaches on Sunday.
Right.
So what women's ministry is going to look like in a church is going to depend to some degree on the size of the church, mm-hmm. how many resources
sure.
they have. It's going to depend on their population. If they are a church near a college and seminary with a lot of academic people coming and going, they may want their leaders in different areas in the church to have more academic training. But I made a little list here of just a lot of things that I think can be included because it's ministry to women, for women, by women, but it's ministry by women that benefits the entire church
sure.
also in a lot of different ways. So some of the things that I kind of jotted down, I think, first of all, we teach a complementarian view here of male leadership in the church. So I believe that any kind of organized women's ministry or even a more casual thing needs to exist in order to support the leaders of the church, that they're not an independent group just doing their own thing, but they do what they do to teach women and lead women in cooperation with mm-hmm. the men who are the pastors and elders of the church. So that's a really important principle
right.
to me. Women's Bible studies, sometimes women feel more comfortable in a setting just with women to open up and discuss things and talk about things or even share practical application, but it needs to be serious and true mm-hmm. study of God's word, not just, what do I think about this passage? So small groups in the church, small Bible study groups can provide true fellowship. There can be counseling for women, one woman counseling another, and that can be an organized part of a church. Biblical counseling is a ministry. Genuine fellowship for women together to talk about God's word, to pray together. It's a place, women need to have a place to exercise spiritual gifts
yeah.
in the church because all believers have spiritual gifts. I think it can be a place for women to learn a lot about hospitality and how to serve both believers and then even as an evangelistic outreach,
mm-hmm.
how to have hospitality in their homes. They can serve the whole church by helping when the pastors and elders want to plan a church-wide event to help do a lot of the event planning, meal planning, childcare, organizing.
Sure. Oh, that's great, Betty. Thank you. Just before we move on, what scriptures kind of feed into that definition that you just gave us? Where, you know, just from the Bible, where all that, talk about a bit where that comes from.
Well, I would say that we have to remember that all of the commands in Scripture, all of the directions toward believers for how to live their lives, for how to grow, they're directed at both men and women. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, there are tons of Scriptures. There are so many passages in the New Testament that we could go to about how to be, how to read God's Word, to love God's Word, to grow, and that we grow in knowing God through, as He teaches us through His Word, that we grow in being faithful to prayer. There are so many things that we find in Scripture, spiritual disciplines, love one another, is all of the one another's in the New Testament, how to live together with the body of Christ. And just to read through all those one another's is very convicting and challenging, but it's a picture of what life in the body of Christ should look like. So many things that are directed to all believers. Obviously, the passage Titus 2, 3 through 5 is specifically directed to women, to older women taking responsibility to train younger women in, and it talks about training what is good. Mm. And there are character qualities mentioned in that passage. So it's like you're training, whether it's one-on-one or group setting, it's that you are training women in what their character should look like as they apply Scripture to their lives. But then there's also the reference to teaching them how to love their husbands, which a woman who's been married for a lot of years can help a newlywed when she reaches the point that everyday life has come after the honeymoon. And like, okay, now, today I'm not liking him so much. I'm really irritated with this decision that he's making for us. How do I love my husband in that time? How to love your children. And again, the new baby comes and you're like, who wouldn't love this cuddly new baby? But I spent 9 days with a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old so their parents could have a vacation.
Yeah.
And there were days that, particularly the strong-willed 3-year-old, I wasn't thrilled with her. But so how do you, when, you know, your toddler's at that saying no to everything and disobeying at every step of the way, how do you love that child with an agape love that is seeking their highest welfare? How do you care for them? And then I love the fact that those, Titus 2, 3 through 5, that those three verses conclude with saying, so that the word of God is not reviled or dishonored. Mm. Somehow the reputation of God's word with other people is impacted by how women live their lives with their families and how older women in the church are helping younger women to grow and what it means to live in these, both in terms of Scripture, but also just everyday living, what it looks like in your family relationships and in your own integrity and character. God's word is held up for other people to see when you live your life that way and when women are interacting with each other to help each other in that way.
So you described a lot of the landscape, broad landscape, you know, the aerial view of what women's ministry can look like in various churches.
Right.
What are some of the challenges that you, in your experience, hear about or have seen in that landscape?
Yeah. Honestly, I think for a long time, and I think it's gotten better in recent years, but I think that women's Bible studies were known for just kind of being fluffy, or even women's ministry in general. It's just an event to get together and just talk. I went to a conference in Florida several years ago that the organization said that it was for women, but not all about women. And they had a lot of male teachers that would be well known to anybody across the country who were teaching a group of thousands of women. And I bumped into somebody I hadn't seen for a while out in the lobby, and she's like, I'm so excited to be here. And she said, I mean, they have nice decorations around, but I haven't seen a bunny anywhere. And I'm like, really? She obviously had been in settings where everything for women was about the decorations and the fluff, and she wanted to study the Bible. So I really think there have been women kind of on the national scene who have been really encouraged serious Bible study for women, not just getting together and sitting in a circle and letting everybody say, what does this mean to me? It doesn't mean something different to everybody sitting in that circle. It may have a different application for each one of them, but the meaning doesn't change.
So now we're getting into the meat of what I'm really excited to talk about. This is such an area of expertise for you. Tell our listeners, you know, from your experience, what and not just your experience, just your knowledge, your wisdom in this area, what are some of the components or hallmarks of a thriving women's ministry? What are those core? What are some of those core principles?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about principles for a thriving women's ministry, and have gotten some feedback from other women that I respect doing women's ministries also. And I have a list of 10 things here that I think are great principles for a women's ministry. Number one is prayer, is to really have a foundation if you're starting a women's ministry in your local church, to start with prayer. And then to have prayer be a constant and crucial part of the ongoing ministry. So prayer, start with prayer. Number two, I have God's Word, that I believe it should be foundational to the women's ministry and all of its events and activities. Number three, I believe that a great goal, a biblical goal for women's ministry, is teaching God's Word to women. Of course, that'll be taught through the pastors as well, mainly, but it would be continuing to teach God's Word to the women and encouraging them to live out the truth of God's Word, mainly overall, to love God with all that they are and to love and serve others. Those are the two main things that Jesus gave us that our lives should be all about, loving God and loving and serving others. Number four, a women's ministry needs to have committed leaders, women leaders who have godly character and who are knowledgeable in God's Word. I mean, they don't have to have academic degrees, but to be knowledgeable enough in God's Word that they're not going to be teaching falsehood or leading people astray, that they can really be providing a ministry that's built on the principles of Scripture. And I think a part of that is it's good to have a leadership team. Probably the size of that team will depend on the size of the church to some degree, but to have a group of godly women who are working together and praying together about making plans and decisions. Number five, to provide opportunities for women to minister to other women through several ways, through prayer, through Bible study, through one-on-one mentoring, through counseling. Women's ministry is a great way to provide multi-generational gatherings for women of various ages to come together. We know Titus 2 talks about older women training younger women. And in some churches, especially particularly large churches, it's often hard for older women and younger women to even meet each other or spend time together. And women's ministry events can be a wonderful opportunity for that. Number six that I have is to help women discover and develop their spiritual gifts to be able to serve and to benefit the church body. The spiritual gifts are not gender specific, so we want to encourage women to find their gifts and use them for others in the body. Number seven, I think that the women's ministry should communicate just a general love and care for the women in their local church. Number eight, for a thriving women's ministry, they need to have willing participants in the women's events and activities, that women in the church would be eager and desiring to participate in as many of the events and activities as they can to be a part of that. Number nine, provide opportunities for women to partner together for outreach to the community and sharing the gospel with others. There can be great evangelism opportunities as women come together to pray for people and to find ways to reach out to neighbors and others in the community. And then number 10, which really is foundational to all of this in the local church, and that is for women's ministry and leaders to have a good relationship with the pastors of the church, submitting to and supporting their leadership, and actually trusted by those men who are leading. Women's ministry should be aligned with the overall mission of the church, not just women doing something independent from the rest of the church. So those would be my 10 main principles. Probably some of these should be true in any size church or any size women's ministry. Some of them will vary to some degree depending on the size of the church and whether it's a church that's been there for a while or whether it's a church plant. But some of these, like prayer and God's Word and loving and caring for one another, are foundational to anything, I think, that could be done in women's ministry.
So you have, you know, churches, large and small, that are new churches, obviously, that the leadership will say, we need either to improve our women's ministry, we need to launch a women's ministry. If one of those pastors, the elder boards, were to bring you in and say, okay, Betty, what would you recommend? What's the first step we should take? How would we build this ministry out? What would you say?
Pray.
That's great. Good answer.
Pray. Seek to see if you have in your congregation, large or small, one or more than one. It's great to have a leadership team, to have women who, again, are qualified by their character, but also hopefully have some training biblically and have some experience already, maybe, and to bring them together and talk together for them to have some direction from the leaders of the church about what they believe is a need and how to get that started. Some, in terms of giving training to leaders, some pastors are very much supportive of them being able to train men and women leaders who are going to do men's ministry and women's ministry, that they would give some training to them. Others would, I think, look for women who already have some training, maybe through schooling, and urge them to be part of a team, and then to pray about, I think you want to start with a biblical foundation, but then think about who's your population, what are the felt needs, what do you, you know, do you have mainly young married couples, do you have mainly singles, do you have mainly middle-aged married people? If you're talking older women, younger women, do you have both of those age groups in your church? Do you have intergenerational meetings where older women and younger women can even meet each other? Mm-hmm. In the mega churches, everything tends to be so age-graded and divided up that there are times where younger women don't even meet older women in the church. Even with our students here at Masters, I think through the years, I think there's the tendency where they get in the car with other students, they go to church, they sit in the service with other students, they go to a college group with right. and sit with other students, they get in the car with those same students and come back to campus, and they've never met or had any opportunity to interact with other people in the church. So when you start talking to a younger woman, this would be great for you to have an older woman to mentor you one-on-one.
Yeah.
They don't even know where to start. You need, and that sometimes is a way, women's ministry events can be a time to bring older and younger women together and for them to meet.
That's a great point. I wouldn't have thought of it, but yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. Thinking deliberately about how do we get intergenerational in this, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's really good.
And can I mention, I've sometimes when girls here at Masters have come to me and said, you know, and I just, will you disciple me? And I'm like, well, I don't think I'm at a place in life right now where I can make a commitment to every single week for who knows how long. But just because you're saying, will you disciple me? I don't know if I'm the best person for what your needs are right now. So let's talk about what are you looking for in a discipleship relationship. Let's talk about what you need, and I'll help you figure out maybe who could be the best person for that. And what I've encouraged girls is, I think it's helpful if you find, like you're a student here, that you find a woman in the church that you're a part of, so you have that connection with each other.
Yeah.
But I would say also, look around it if you can meet some older women, and just don't start with asking somebody to disciple you. Ask a woman if you can, if she has time to have coffee with you. And don't even talk about discipleship yet. Just get right. to know her. Ask her questions about how she does things in her family. And if by the end of that conversation, it's great and you want to say, do you think we could do this again sometime? And maybe even meet three or four times with that woman and learn what you can, and then move on to another woman
right.
and do that with five or six different women. And you've gotten to know more people in your church. Mm-hmm. You've learned from, because sometimes I don't think we have to keep people into just one-on-one mentoring. I think younger women can learn from several older women. And people's lives are so different from each other these days
right.
that it's helpful, I think, to learn from different older, like you might see one woman and say, I see something about how you've raised your kids. Can I just ask you about that? I'd love mm-hmm. to learn some tips from you. And somebody else might be, well, I see you have some family. Your kids are a little bit older, but you're working outside the home part-time. How does that work? How are you a worker at home, Titus 2? How yeah. do you make your husband and your children your priority, even if you're away from home part of the time? I'd love to hear how you do that. And those two women may do life totally differently, but you're learning from both of them.
You've touched on this already, but I just want to ask it, kind of just to benchmark it on this podcast, just talk a bit about the importance of kind of formal theological training in women's ministry to lead in a ministry such as this.
Well, I think some sort of basic biblical foundation, I think, is really important, because that's what you're leading women to find their spiritual growth through. We're, Romans 12, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds, and that's mainly going to be through Scripture, and then how to live that out. I think for students at Masters, and I would even say maybe some other Christian universities, they're getting a basic biblical foundation that for probably a lot of things in women's ministries, they're even potentially with their undergrad education are going to be viewed as leaders in days to come and will have opportunities to lead. But I think all of us, whatever our basic training is, we need to be lifelong learners and we need to be studying Scripture for ourselves. But I also think, I had coffee about 3 or 4 days ago with a girl here who will graduate next year, and she's prayerfully and probably, it seems pretty definite, is planning to go to seminary after that. Mm-hmm. And she has really some goals in mind for how she would like to teach other women. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for her to want, I don't tell the girls here that every girl needs to or has to go to seminary. But I think for our students here, women students get the idea that women should not go to seminary since we're connected with a seminary that's all male. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, as far as I know, it's the only seminary in the country that's all male. There are plenty of others. I mean, they're limited in terms of agreement with our theology,
right,
but and our understanding of Scripture. But there are seminaries that are, you know, filled with women students as well as male students.
Yeah, it makes sense. If there's a seminary like ours that
right.
focuses specifically on, we are training future pastors.
Right.
Okay, that's a seminary for men.
Exactly.
But for a young woman or not so young woman, doesn't matter,
right.
would like to be prepared and equipped
right.
to go into women's ministry,
right.
there's a school, there's a place
yeah.
to go.
Yeah, exactly. I had a Zoom meeting Friday with a gal who graduated from here 2 years ago who's working for a church out in the Midwest. And her church has said they would like to support her in taking classes at seminary on the East Coast. And she was really excited about that. She was somebody here who loved Scripture and wanted to keep studying more and more. And then we have a young woman who graduated from here and got a graduate degree here and then went to another seminary and got a doctorate. And now mm-hmm. she's finishing a PhD.
Okay, wow.
And
great.
She leaves in about 2 days for a ministry, I'll say, in the Middle East, where okay. she's going to be teaching and training and discipling and mentoring women and from a lot of different countries. I'm so excited.
That's
for
wonderful.
Her.
Even, yeah. you know, even here at the Masters University, you can study quite far along in the programs. We obviously have the Bachelor's in Biblical Studies,
right.
then we have Master's in Biblical
right.
Studies,
right.
and a Master's in Biblical Counseling available.
Exactly.
I know a lot of our male and female students
right.
are studying in those areas. And yeah, it's wonderful to be a part of yeah. this growth that we're seeing in women's ministry, because last I checked, Betty, it's half the population, right?
Yes, at least.
I think,
say a lot of churches are more than 50%
yes,
women.
Yes, right. There's a lot of women in the world. So
let me mention one other
sure,
resource
please.
For women who haven't had formal training but really want to learn more. There's a great website. They have video classes and they have them on 3 different levels. One is for all believers. One is on a university level and one is on a seminary level.
Oh wow!
And they have
okay.
a whole bunch of classes. And all of those different categories. About a year or so ago, I video watched 15-hour-long lectures on the book of Galatians. But I had one of the men professors in the Bible School of Biblical Studies here to just check on that website for me and see what he thought about mm-hmm. it. And he very much affirmed that it's a really good resource. And the classes are all free. Yeah, I mean, I think you can pay and get some sort of credit or certificate if you want to work towards something like that. But the majority of them are just free if you want to get online and you register and put your name in, and they keep
sure.
track so you'll know which classes that you did. But it's biblicaltraining.org. It's
okay.
very
spelled
simple.
Just like it sounds. Biblical training.
Exactly.
Biblicaltraining.org.
Yes.
Okay, good. And the last thing I want to ask you is, and this is a question for both the men and women, or I say women and men listening to us today, what would you encourage our listeners to focus on as they seek to support women's ministries in their local church? What could, you know, what steps could they take to bolster that in their churches?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think for pastors and elders, to be supportive of that, to be able to encourage the women who do that leadership, and then the men in the church to encourage their wives to participate as they can. Hopefully they will see the fruit of that in even their relationship with their wives, relationship with the kids, as the women are learning and growing through being a part of Bible studies and prayer groups and women's retreats and all kinds of things that minister to them. I mean, it makes a huge difference for a woman whether her husband is supportive of that or not. And maybe maybe it means he does childcare some of the time when she's away. And it makes a huge difference to her, you know, whether that's supportive or not. And obviously for the women to participate in that. And sometimes I think for younger women, they have not participated. I'll ask students here, you know, have you been to women's ministry events? And a lot of times they don't really know anything about that in their church. Mm-hmm. To just even look into it and find out what's available doesn't mean that everything's going to meet their needs or they need to be involved with everything.
Yes, men listening to this, I can attest. My wife has gone to many of these over the years, and every time it blesses the whole family.
Yes.
You know? So, you know, if it means you got to change a few more diapers than you normally do, trust me, it's worth it. You'll be glad. You'll be glad you made that sacrifice. So.
Great testimony.
That's right, for sure. Betty, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been fantastic. I'm so grateful that you came and that we were able to hear from your vast experience in this area. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate all your efforts here, Bob.
Thank you for listening to The Art of Discernment. For more information on the Masters University, visit masters.edu. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We'll see you next time.